We're learning a Maamar So, we're learning a discourse by the Rebbe, 1958, and the Rebbe is explaining the connection, basically, between two verses, two ideas in Torah that actually express the same idea. Two verses that explain the same idea. One verse is, you will spread out to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south, and everybody's going to be blessed by you, by your family, etc., etc. That's one idea. The second idea is, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Here, Israel, God, our Lord, God is one. Those are two verses that are apparently completely not connected. Different places in Torah, different stories, no relationship. However, the Rebbe explains over here that in both cases, you see the same concept. What's the concept? To bring infinity into a finite world. How do you see that? Because it says, Uforatzta means you will spread out like infinitely. It's just spread out. However, that has to be in the west, in the east, in the north, in the south. And that's limitation. Definitely definition, places, directions, etc. That's one verse. And the Shema Yisrael happens the same thing. By the end, you have the word Echad, which means one. That actually, that word is explained in the Talmud, in the commentaries, etc. It refers to four directions of the world. That's the Dalet. Then the heavens, seven heavens and the earth. That's the Ches, eight. And then the Aleph, Aluf Shalaylam, the master of the world. The whole world has to be nullified to the Aleph, the Dalet, the Ches, and the which represent the whole world. That's nullified to the Aleph, which is the infinite. So again, you have to bring out or bring down infinity, the Aleph, Ein Sof, how the Rebbe calls it, the infinity, into the seven heavens and the world and the earth and the four directions of the world, etc. So we see the same concepts in both verses. Then, that's the first chapter, basically. Then he goes into explaining that in the Shema, you represent Torah and mitzvahs. Learning and doing, both things. And he presents a question, so to speak, not such a strong question, just an idea to understand what comes first, Torah or mitzvahs. So in one part of the Shema you say Torah comes before mitzvahs. In the other part of Shema you say that mitzvahs come before Torah. So what's first, learning or doing or learning? That's what he presents basically in the second chapter. Then he goes in the third chapter, the Rebbe starts explaining what's the greatness of God. How do you understand the greatness of God? And he uses one psalm, and then he goes into another one. The first psalm that he talks about is 48, Psalm 48, where he talks about God el Hashem u'mehul ha'me'od be'ir elokeinu. Great is God and very, very praised in the city of our Lord. That's the verse. And he brings teachings from the Zohar, from different places in Jewish mysticism, that say that the greatness of God can be understood when he is in the city. What do you mean the city? What's a city? So he explains, a city is built on stones. And stones build houses. Houses, actually, when you have many houses, you make a city. The stones represent letters. Because with various letters, you make a word. And with various words, you add up words, you make a phrase, a paragraph, a book, etc., etc. So in the same way, God created the whole world using words. That appears actually in the creation itself, in the Torah. At the beginning, God said it should be heavens, there should be this, that, grass, etc., etc. So you see that there are words of God that are involved, so to speak, in the creation. Next step of deepness, so to speak, words basically express two things, what you have in your mind and what you have in your heart. I can explain an idea to you with words. If I just remain looking at the screen and don't say anything, of course, you're not going to understand anything. I have to talk. Okay. So I explain whatever I understand with words, or I can bring out an emotion with words. I can explain, or I can try to express how I feel with words. Today I'm sad, today I'm happy, for whatever reason. Okay, so you can explain your emotions with words. Of course, and this is not the subject of our discussion, there are certain emotions you cannot explain, it's too deep. Okay, that's true, we're not talking about that. That's fine. But we're talking just things you can express. You need the words to express. Seichel, which means intellect, and midos, which means emotion. And the Rebbe says that the world, as we know it, is created from a level in God's words that are related to emotions. That's where Psalm 25 comes in. And he says, Chor rachamecha Hashem v'chasadecho, ki me'olam heima. Remember, the Psalm says simply, remember your mercy, God, and your kindness, because they are eternal. That's the regular translation of the Psalm. However, the word mi'olam doesn't translate just eternal, right? In this particular case, it means rather the world. So we ask God to remember his mercy with which he created the world. They belong to the world. So what does that mean? That the whole world is created through God's emotions being expressed by letters. Look at page 251, the last line, literally the last line. He says after the comma, like in the middle of the line, Gilu yamido isual yedei ribu yoisei sadibur. How do you reveal emotions? Through lots of letters of talking. You need to talk. You like this, you don't like this. Are you happy? Are you sad? So you need to talk. Otherwise, nobody knows. Okay, so that means that God created the whole world by talking. Okay, what does it mean for us? What it means for us is you can understand the greatness of God through, quote unquote, his city. What's the city of God? Okay, let's go back again. Each letter represents a stone. When you put stones together, you make a house. Many houses represent a city. Let's go back again. The stones represent the letters. The letters God used to create the world. With many stones, many letters, you make many houses, many words. The words that God uses to create his world. Through us, understanding, meditating, that I'm not going like in deep mysticism, forget it, very simple. Through looking at the world, I'm going to say the same thing, but in different expressions. By looking at the world, you can understand the greatness of God. What does that mean? Yeah, look how many rivers there are in the world, how many animals, how many plants, how many human beings going back and forth, up and down, in China, in Argentina, in so many places, so many people. Moving and thinking and doing things and business and crying and being happy. Everything is being created by God constantly. How does he do it? With words. Just as it appears in the text of the creation, God said there should be this, there should be that. Oh, so okay. Again, the words of God create the world. The letters God talks and the combinations of those letters, etc., they create the whole world. Okay, but where's the connection with the emotion part? The connection is what is involved, or what did God involve in the creation of the world? Emotions. This is what he involved. This is what he used, so to speak, in order to create the world. Maybe, and again, just maybe, an example of this would be when a person acts in anything in his life, like you have small children and you're taking a breakfast and you're really in a rush because you have to go to work because you're going to miss the bus and whatever, and your small child was eating the cereal with milk and it just spilled the whole milk in your new suit, and now either you go with the whole dirty suit to the work, which you cannot, or you go late. because you have to change, you're going to miss the bus, and et cetera, et cetera. So you have two options. Option number one is start screaming and start going crazy because you are ruining my day and now I'm going to be late and my boss is going to be angry at me and blah, blah. And the boy is just looking, you know, just peeling the cereal with the milk. What do you want, small boy? Just eating and playing. Or you can just calm down, go change your suit. You're going late to work and you explain to your boss, look, this is what happened. I came half an hour later because I missed the bus because there was a problem at home. My son happened this and that, blah, blah, blah. And that's it. You just go on with your life. The first reaction, where does it come from? Midos, emotions. Emotions are strong. Emotions, you can feel them and they just burst and you just, emotions. That's how they work. And it's good because they're strong. The second reaction is seichel, intellect. What am I going to do? I'm going to ruin my whole day and my wife's day and my boy's day because I'm dirty. So go change. What can you do? Go change. The world will understand what happened. And maybe your boss also comes late. So what he does is not going to know. So whatever. Seichel, intellect. Intellect is calm down. You just slow down. However, that's the advantage. You can think things and really react in the proper way at the proper times. Let's say you have a sane intellect, so you react properly at the proper times. That's the advantage. The disadvantage is that it's very cold. Seichel is cold. Intellect is cold. And emotions are very hot. Very strong and hot. So again, each one has advantages and disadvantages. The point is, this discourse is bringing the idea, and it's mentioned in other discourses also in Hasidic thought, that the world is created with the emotions of God. How do you know that? Psalm 25. The world is created with rachamecha, your mercy, chasadecha, your kindness. That's that they are for the world. They are to, in order to create the world. How? With lots of letters, and you, through those letters and through those words, etc., etc., you get the gadlus, the greatness of God. Okay. That, so to speak, we got it. However, next step, before the text, the new text, so to speak, next step, however, that's just how you or me or whatever, whomever is thinking, understands the greatness of God, how we can perceive his greatness through his creation. But is that him, himself? No. The truth is that, in the words of the Rebbe, Gedulotheya Atzmis, his essential greatness, forget it. You don't understand it. We don't understand it. So there's a big difference between how we can understand God when he is, quote unquote, in his city, when he expresses himself through the creation, so we can understand his greatness. But that greatness, now going back to the verse that the Rebbe brought before from Nehemiah, I don't remember exactly what it is, Divrei Hayomim, I'm sorry, Chronicles. He says, Lecho Hashem Agedulo VeAgevura, etc. Yours, God, is the greatness and the power, etc., etc. Yours means completely nullified to you. Even those things that we call greatness, even those ideas that we say, wow, God is probably so great, he creates so many trees. Yeah, that's nothing. That is lecho. It's like completely nullified to him. Completely nullified to him. And through the last idea that Rebbe brought, through us really understanding that this is really nothing to him, it's so like simple to him, and so nullified to him, through us understanding that, we actually raise up his greatness, so to speak, to him. We through thinking about his real greatness, so to speak, his essential greatness, that is something we cannot understand, but this is it's exactly what the Rebbe is pointing to. Like, there are things you can understand. That's nice. So you understand them and you grasp them and you enjoy them and etc., etc. But there are certain things you cannot understand. And through not understanding, then you really go high. Then you really go beyond yourself because you don't understand. That, again, makes in the words of the Rebbe, an elevation of his greatness, and this will project in itself a greatness, a greater revelation of his essence into his greatness. This is the way the Rebbe said it. He's going to explain it better through the Maimar. But the whole thing is, again, back and forth, from us to him and from him to us. Of course, the only reason we can connect to him is because he started this connection and he revealed himself, so to speak, saying, hello, I'm here. Otherwise, it would be impossible for us to even grasp that there's such a thing as a God or a creator or whatever. But besides that starting point that he is the one that makes it, we think about him within the city, quote unquote, with these words and letters and looking at the word, in order to go to a higher level of understanding. And this higher level of understanding is when we actually grasp that all that meditation and greatness we understood is actually lecho. It's nothing to you. Nothing to you. Now, let's go to next paragraph. Vehine. Now, כשם שבפסוק לכו השם הגדולה וגוימת, מבוארין הלא והמשוכה בכל המידויס, just as in this verse. Yours, God, is the greatness, etc. All the six midois, emotions, whatever. It's explained in that verse. The idea of raising up his greatness, so to speak, by understanding that there are levels of understanding and greater levels to a point that we don't understand. And that brings down a deeper revelation of God into the world. And that happens in all the midois, in all the emotional attributes. The same thing happens in the ringing of the Shema. It's not just something circumscribed to that verse. No. It's something general. How do you see it? Because it says, Shema Israel, that's one verse, so to speak, uvoruch shem kivud malchusei lelavoed, and blessed is the glory of his kingship, or whatever, for always, whatever, etc. Those are two ideas. Ki bepasuk shema yesh vav teves, keneged avav midos. In the verse Shema Israel, you have six words that represent six emotional qualities, that he attributes, whatever, that he spoke about before. Uvetevas echot, and in the last word of this verse, which means one, echot, are yachez v'adalet em shiva rekim v'aretz v'dalet ruches ha'olam. The letter ches and the letter dalet, two letters in the Hebrew alphabet, they are the seven heavens and the earth and four directions of the world. Shem bechinas shisha ktsavos. These represent, I'm going to read it and then translate. Shisha ktsavos gashmim, sheshor shamu shisha midis elyonis anat. This actually represents six directions, physical directions, because you have north, south, east, west, up and down. So you have six directions, physical like directions in the world, whose source, Shoidesh, comes from the six high emotional qualities, attributes, whatever. That's the Shema. Okay, so we got it. The Shema has six words, six midoy, six emotional attributes. Ubaruch Shem Kvod Malchus Elam Voed, Ubechinas Malchus. And this other phrase, this other idea, which is not a verse, it's a phrase, whatever, from our sages, it represents Malchus, kingship. Why? Very simple. The words say, Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus. We're talking about that the name of the glory of his kingship, it should be blessed, etc., etc. Okay, so we're talking about his kingship. So that represents his kingship. So the Shema represents six ideas. And the second phrase, Baruch Shem Kevod, represents one idea, Malchus. What's Malchus? What does it represent? Malchus is Shoresh Hazman, is the source, spiritual source of time. As we say, this is also not a verse. You're not going to find it anywhere. It's in the Siddur. It's in a prayer book. Melech Molach Imloch. God is a king right now, present, Molach, he was a king in past. Imlech, he will be a king in future. So we see that there is such an expression. It's bringing a proof from the prayer book, because it's like prayer book in itself was, I'm not going to explain the whole story now, but the prayer book in itself is something prepared by our sages. So if our sages bring this expression, that's holy in itself, so to speak. So he doesn't need to bring other proofs. So Malchus is the Sheresh Azman. This level that is called Malchus, the kingship of God, is the source of time. Why? Because we see that we refer to God as a king. And the king, he was a king, he is a king, and he will be a king. And because God, he means in himself, is beyond the definitions of time and space. How do you know that? Because when you're talking about space, the verse says, the space is with me. This is a whole conversation between God and Moshe Rabbeinu in Parshas Kisisa. God says, I have this place for me, ready for you to grasp my glory or whatever. But the point is, he says, Makim iti. The place is with me. With me means like secondary to me. I'm beyond place. I'm beyond space. We omdu razar, and I will say, she said, Hu mekoyim shel olam, ve'in olam mekoyim. Look, he is the place of the world, but the world is not his place. Like, it's a very deep thing. There's many Hasidic ideas behind this. Doesn't really matter. The point over here in this maimer is, he is beyond space. That's what he's trying to convey. And because time and space, they are related. It's interesting that he brings a proof from Sharik of the Emunah, the second part of Tanya, but actually science, modern science, says this exactly the same thing. Space and time are basically the same idea. And because they are the same idea, the same thing happens with time. God is beyond time. God is completely incomparable to time. He's not under, so to speak, time, like we are. He is beyond time. With this, it's not in our mind, but I think it's an interesting note to understand what he's talking about. There's a famous book, Shomer Emunim, it's called Shomer Emunim. There are few books with the same name. This is called Shomer Emunim Akadmoim, the old Shomer Emunim. And it's a book of Kabbalah, a very simple, very short and simple book. And he brings over there a famous question in Kabbalah. Over there he says, why didn't, if God is good, and the purpose of the world, at least this is one of the ideas Kabbalah brings. If the purpose of the world is that God wanted to express his kindness and be good to somebody, so he creates human beings and is good with them. But why didn't he create it before? The world, according to the Jewish tradition, has 5,784 years. Why not before? Be more good, more time, more goodness, so to speak. The answer is so simple, because God is not limited by time. He creates time. So we measure everything in time. So there's a beginning, there's etc., etc. But he doesn't measure time. Time doesn't measure him. He is beyond time. So there's no before. There was no such a thing as, why didn't he create before? That assumes like an absolute timeline. And God is somewhere within that timeline. No. God is absolute. And the timeline is a creation. Time is just a creation. The Magid of Message used to say this also. Time is just a creation. Like anything else. So again, let's go back. So we have God is beyond space and God is beyond time. The same thing happens with all the rest of the emotional attributes. Are completely different than what we understand. We can call God kind, but it's not our kindness. We can call God severe, but it's not our severe. Forget it. No way. No way. When Avram, the proof brought in Hasidus, when Avram said in Parshas Lech Lecha, Parshas Vayera, that he is afar va'efer, he is like dust and nothing else. What he was referring to, Hasidus explains in a deeper way, like, even though our sages say that all the time that Avram was in the world, He was so kind to everybody, etc., etc., that the kindness of God did not have a job, didn't have anything to do, because Abraham was doing all the kindness of the world, etc. This is in Sefer Aboyr, whatever, in Kabbalah also. However, Abraham was actually afar ba'efer. He was dust in comparison to the kindness of God. It's nothing. It's like comparing dust to a person. What are you talking about? This is dust and this is a person. No. Ein aroich. No comparison at all. Still, we call it the greatness of God, the kindness of God. Okay, that's fine. But it's just our problem, because we need to identify things and say this is called this way. But that doesn't mean that my kindness is actually like God's kindness. No, no, no. No way. No way. Velochem. Therefore. Arehem be'alo le'atzmusa izbarach. That's why we can take what we call kindness and elevate it to the essence of God. You can always, it's difficult to express, maybe even in words, but you can always understand God's kindness in a higher level. Like maybe, again, maybe an example is, I can be kind with my dog. And I give him some food. Oh, and he's happy and he moves. And then, oh, he's so happy. Or I can be kind with my son. But I'm not going to throw the food in the floor for my son. No way. That's not nice. Or you can be kind to your wife or to your husband. Whatever. Okay, it's kindness. You're right. It's called kindness, but it's different. It's not the same level of kindness. It's not expressed in the same way. And it doesn't mean the same thing. No, definitely not. It's just an example of how there are different levels of kindness, even within us, human beings, different levels of kindness. The same thing happens with God. He's kind with us. He gives us food. Yeah, very nice. And with the angels. And with the spheroids or whatever, the worlds. Wow. Different kinds of kindness, whatever that means. Okay, so we elevate the kindness. What does that mean in simple words? First, start thinking about how God creates the world. He's kind, the Psalms talk about this, 145, actually, God is kind with all the creatures, and he gives the raven its food, and he gives the, yeah, very simple things. It's true, and that's the kindness of God. Start from there, and then say, okay, but the raven is just a bird. Is there anything else? Yes, he's kind with all the human beings. Oh, really? Oh, yeah. And then he's kind with the kings. Oh, the elevated human beings. Yeah, yeah, kings. And then he's kind with the angels. And then he's kind. Okay, so we elevate, so to speak, the kindness of God. Not that we make a change in God. The change is in us. We start understanding things in different ways. And therefore, when we do that job, so to speak, that work, that generates, that elevation generates hamshacha, a projection. God reveals his kindness in a different way in our lives, etc. Nimsa comes out, Shiklolus in Yanakriyat Shema, Ulifu Bechola Midas, Ayichud Imat Smus Ibarach, Bebeis Aifon in the Alav Amshach. Comes out that this Shema, which represents again six words on one verse, representing the six emotional attributes, and then one word, one idea in the next phrase, etc., etc. This is exactly the same thing as we spoke before. We generate, lifal, we do, so to speak, in every single emotional attribute, a unification with his essence by elevating this idea in the two ways we spoke before. We elevate, and that generates a projection, just as the words, just as everything else that the Rebbe spoke before. Dalit, fourth chapter. According to this, Yuvan she'inyan akriyas shema uklalus inyan ha'Torah mitzvos. Now we're going to understand that the in general kriyas shema, this reading of the shema, it encompasses, so to speak, the whole idea of Torah, learning, and mitzvos, commandments. Lefishegam inyan ha'Torah mitzvos ulifu la'ichud hanal, because also Torah mitzvos is all about this unification. So before going forward, so the Rebbe said, basically, look, you have meditation in the greatness of God. Therefore, you start elevating the greatness of God, and that generates a projection of the greatness of God into the world. Nice, very good. The Shema works the same way. you think about these six ideas or whatever, the Hashem HaGedul, etc., etc., and then there's a projection of God in Baruch Shem Kevod Malchus Elam Voed. Very nice. And you know what? Torah Mitzvah is also the same thing. Everything works the same way. You go up, it comes down. You go up, it comes down. And the idea is like this, second line in page 253. As it's written in the writings of the Arizal. The Arizal didn't write anything, his Talmidim, his students wrote for him. Before performing any commandment, a person should say, I'm doing this in order for there to be a unification of Kut Shabrihu. I'll explain this in a minute. Kut Shabrihu on one side, Shchintei on another side. What does that mean, Kut Shabrihu and Shchintei? Kut Shabrihu basically means the Holy One, whatever. Kodosh means holy. Brihu means blessed be he, the Holy One, blessed be he. And Shchintei means his presence. So different Hasidim have different customs. In Chabad, we don't have a custom of saying this every single time we do it, we do a mitzvah, but we say it once a day in the morning, before the morning prayers, we say this phrase. Other Hasidim say it like every single time they're going to make a mitzvah, they say this phrase. So what does that mean? L'chioira ein emuvan. Apparently, it's not understood. Ma'u'inyan ichud kutshabrihu shchintei. What does that mean, this unification of these two levels, whatever they mean, kutshabrihu shchintei? How many gods do you have? Yeah, I have kutshabrihu shchintei. No. What does that mean? Arei omru razal, our sages said, al pasuk Shema Israel, on this particular verse, our sages say, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kol ma shebarasi, barasi zugu ischule. Every single thing that I made in the world, I created in the world, I created in couples, etc. But my glory is one and he's unified. I'm one, basically. This is what he's saying. Shema Israel, I'm one. God is one. Doesn't have parts. If this is so, how can you say that you have to actually do this unification of Kutshabrihu and Shchinte, whatever they mean? What is that? It seems like God has parts, two parts, and you have to unite parts, unificate parts, whatever. No. Acha inyanu, that is like this. I'm going to explain, says the Rebbe, basically. Kut shabrichu shchintei hem seivev u'memale. These two things that we say every single day, it's in the Zohar so many times, Kut shabrichu, the Holy One, blessed be He, and shchintei, His presence, they represent, are two names to represent two ways that God relates to the world. How are those two ways? Seivev and Memale. Literally speaking, Seivev means something that goes around. And Memale means something that fills. That's the literal translation. Very easy to misunderstand. Seivev represents transcendence. Seivev represents how God is infinite. And Memale represents how God is inside each single creature in the world. Those are basically those two ideas. They repeat so many times in Hasidus, in Kabbalah, all the time, these two ideas. But that doesn't mean that there are two gods, Chas v'Shalom, God forbid. It's just one God that expresses himself, and actually you can really, really, it's a long work, so to speak, where you can really trace down, or trace up actually, not down, up, these two ideas into one basic idea. Is like, give or not give. Reveal yourself or not reveal yourself. Basically, I know it's not so easy to understand because I'm making this very short, but it's exactly the same thing, and they both exist at the same time, but they're not two things. One example that I did not find examples in Hasidus. I just thought about this example, so it can be wrong, definitely. I don't know. But when a person like extends the arm to pick up something, you have to extend your arm on one hand because you want to pick up that thing, but you have to extend your arm only up to the place where this thing that you want is there. Otherwise, if you extend it more, you can't catch it. If you extend it less, you can't catch it either. So there are two movements happening at the same time. Go out of yourself, like extend your arm, but not so much. Like, keep your arm to you. And both things happen at the same time. This is like soivev, infinite, and memale, and finite. Kuchabrihu soivev. This idea of the Holy One, blessed be He, is soivev, is the way He actually transcends the world. Why? Kilosh and kodosh, hainu shekodosh umuvdan leilomis. The word kuchabrihu, which is in Aramaic actually, means HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God is holy. What does it mean to be holy? The word holy means that something is separated from the worlds. It cannot be grasped by the worlds. That's why He's holy. That's what it means, He's holy. Which Shchintei, Shchina, comes from the word to reside, like Mishkan, tabernacle, where God's presence resides over there. Mishkan is tabernacle, Shchina is all the same word. This is the word, the idea of how God fills the worlds, not how God transcends and is impossible to grasp, rather the other way, how God is possible to grasp. This is the word Shechina in itself, what it means, that Shechines resides, mislabeshes, gets involved, so to speak, invested in the lower worlds. ועניין סבב ממלא, וכמו עניין השם, שהוא רק הארה בלבד ממנו יתברך. This phrase is so important, this line in the Maimon. These two ideas of how God transcends the world and how God fills the world, this is just like a name. It's something we call the expression of God. What's a name? ורק הארה בלבד ממנו יתברך. It's just a reflection of Him. Blessed be He. Al derech mashal ba Adam, just like a person, lehavdil avdalot linkates, to separate infinitely between a man and God, shemitzad chokhmaso yivinoso yinikra b'shem chacham. Because a person can be wise and can be understand many things, therefore he's called chacham, he's a wise person, etc. Hine shemois eilu eina mitzad atzmuzeh shel Adam. These names are not the essence of a person. These are things that are like added to the person. I can say that such a certain person is a chacham, it's a wise, a certain person is a fool, etc. But it's not the essence of a person. The same thing we're going to understand above, so to speak, spiritually speaking. Any name you can put to God, it does not really define His essence. Not at all. It's just a name. Ela k'maymar razal, just as our sages say, lefi maisa aninikra. According to my actions, I am called. So I act in a certain way. You can call this person in that way. V'kivan sheshemo yizkut shabrichu shchintayim rak b'ha'ara bilvad. Since these two names, Kuchabrihu, which represents infinity, and Shchinte, which represents finite, they are just a reflection. He says, Beha'ara. It's difficult to express. In the reflection only. The infinite light of God is not God. It's just an expression of Him. And within this infinite light, because it is infinite, you can say anything you want. And it expresses anything you can say about it, yes. But can you say that about God? No. No. But it's much deeper than this, because after all, why is this light called Or Ein Sof, the light of the Ein Sof, of the infinite, why is it called like that? Because it expresses God, who is the Ein Sof, infinite. This is just the light of the Ein Sof, the expression of the infinity. But it's not the infinity itself. It would be, it's very difficult to find examples of this, but it would be something like a hologram. And you can have a projector projecting somebody moving and talking, etc., etc. Is the person moving and talking? No. It's just a projection of something that resembles and looks like that person. And that projection is of this person, of that person, of the other person. It takes the form of that person because it's a projection of the person. But it's not really the person. Look, you can look at me, And you will see, whatever, I don't have hair, I have a beard, etc., etc. Are you really looking at me? No. You're just looking at how I look, but not how I am. Definitely not. This is basically what he's talking about. God is called by what we understand about him. And he wants to be called by those names, because this is something he made up, so to speak. Chacham and Bina, whatever, all the names he can say, this is how he works and does things. And all those names only apply to how we look at him. This in Hasidus is called Ha'ara, literally reflection. But it has such a deep meaning behind it, it's difficult to express. And in this reflection of God, then you can separate between infinity or soivev, how transcendence, and in immanence, whatever, how it fills the creation. That's why we say before each commandment, each mitzvah, oh, there should be a unification of these two levels, Kudsha Brichu and Shchinte. And this is the whole idea of unifying the light of God that invests itself in the worlds together with the light of God that transcends the worlds. This unification can happen in two ways. By the way, he started the whole Maimar, the whole discourse, by saying that we have to unify the infinite with the finite, ufaratzta, like spread out, but in limits. Shema also, he's one, he's infinite, but within the world. So he's going, like working to reach that particular idea. You have to unite in this unification, happens in two ways. Bederech Allah, bederech Hamshacha. This unification happens in a way of raising up and in a way of coming down. Okay. This is also what it says actually in this Parsha, Parshas Vayeschanan. And you will know, etc., that there are two names of God. Avaye hu Elokim. God is the Lord. That's the regular translation. And the Zayar says, you should know that these two names of God are actually one thing. So what do you mean? Two is one and one is two? It sounds so much like three is one and one is three. Oh, you may, I don't want to get into that. So what is the Zayar talking about? This is the unification of these two expressions of God. Or the unification of two other names. Avaye, the name of God with four letters, and Adnai, which means the Lord also. Same idea. The Hine. Now, Havaye, ulemaile me'ateva. This name of God of four letters represents a God that is beyond nature. And this also represents this light, this transcendent light that is beyond worlds. Ve'elekim bigematria teva. And this other name of God, Elekim, which means the Lord, when you add up the letters, it comes out to 86. And when you add up the letters of the word Hateva, which means the nature, it also comes out to 86. And this is the light of God that fills the worlds. And same thing happens with this other name of God, Adnai, which means my Lord or something like that, that he brings the Zohar over here. God is known as the Lord of the whole world upon everything. This is a word, a light of God that fills the world. And because these two levels are different, we call them actually different names. This is our job, this is our work, so to speak, to put them together, to make one thing out of that. First of all, you have to raise up, as we explained in our understanding, in our minds, etc., etc. I'm not going to explain the whole thing about behind this, just very, very, very briefly. This is the combination of Adnai and Elikim in the name Avaye. I'll explain this in a second, but briefly. And there afterwards, in a way of from up down, a projection. This is the combination, so to speak, of Avaye within Adnai and Elohim. Okay, what's the combination? It's explained in Shari Chodemun, in the second part of Tanya at the end, that the names of God combine, just as letters combine to form words and to form phrases, etc., etc. The same thing happens with the names of God. And according to which name combines with what is the result you get. So if you combine the infinite name of God, let's start in an orderly manner. Here first it says Aloe, from down up. So if you combine the name of God, Elohim, that represents the nature, with the name of God, Havaya, that represents beyond nature, you're raising up the nature into that which goes beyond nature. And if you do the other way, from up down, if you combine the name of God beyond nature within the name of God, which is within nature, so it's from up down. That's the different, the two oifanim, so there are two ways you can actually combine things or unify things, etc., etc. But the point that Rebbe is bringing over here is that actually every single thing in Torah, I mean in Judaism in general, etc., works in these two ways. From up down, from down up, every single thing. So he found it in this verse in Psalm 48 about the city of God. And then he found it like meditation, etc., etc. And then he found it in the Shema. And now he found it in this phrase that the Arizal writes, that you should say before each mitzvah. Why? Because everything is, after all, everything is raise up yourself to God, and He is going to come down to you. Actually, the same thing happened in Matan Torah. It's not the subject of this particular maimer, but same thing happens. God, the Torah says, "Vayered Avaya al Har Sinai in Parshas Yisrael." God came down in Mount Sinai. U'Moshe Ala el Elokim, and Moshe Rabbeinu went up to God. So it's the same thing. Up and down, constantly, these two movements, so to speak.